Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we invite your phone calls, 888-302-3684. And we got lots to talk about this weekend because big concerns on the Ebola front, and there's lots of Ebola confusion. It's fascinating what happened this week because unlike in previous times, you know, the government makes reassurances, and then the people in a sheep-like fashion say, yeah, sure, okay, no problem. But the American people, in a resounding way, said, no, you're full of you-know-what. All your bland reassurances about it can't happen here, move along, folks, there's nothing to see here, they're hollow because the facts on the ground are overwhelming the reassurances. And this week we saw the appointment of a czar. I don't know what good that's going to do. It's more about messaging than practical control messages, measures, because this is a guy who has no medical expertise or scientific expertise. He's a political operative kind of guy. But anyway, what they want is they want messaging. And the messaging has been confusing, to say the least. But the American people, they're skeptical. There is unprecedented distrust of the institutions of government and of, frankly, medicine itself. The medical establishment has come up short because they said, you know, wasn't going to come here, and then it came here, and they said it's not that contagious, and, you know, we're taking all the right precautions, and look what happened. A couple of nurses got infected. And so a lot of questions remain. How contagious is it? Is it, quote, hard to catch, as health authorities, including the president, in fact, have said? Well, it doesn't seem to be that hard to catch, because how in the heck did these nurses who were gowned appropriately, supposedly following every protocol, how did they get it? And what about the incubation period? The incubation period, well, they say, you know, 21 days, you stay out of commission, and then you can re-enter, you know, get out of quarantine, and everything's fine. But one Harvard physician, well-respected, is saying, no, 21 days isn't enough. It may be transmissible. It may have a longer incubation period. We know very little about this virus, and the virus may be morphing, mutating, and changing, and its ability to infect individuals may change. It may not be a matter of immersing yourself in body fluids of someone who has 104 fever and is bleeding out of all their orifices. It may be transmissible in other ways. We don't know. How fatal will it be over here? Well, 70% in Africa, but there are mixed messages on that, because we see a nurse who came down with Ebola. She seems quite happy. She's perky. We see her on TV with people surrounding her in hazmat suits, and she seems perky, happy, she's smiling. So maybe it is treatable under the best circumstances. People who have better nutrition, getting better medical care, maybe it won't be as devastating as it is in the third world. Will it continue to explode in Africa? Will we be able to contain it? Will there be, as they estimate, 10,000 new cases within the next month, and then, you know, will it logarithmically increase and then spread all across Africa? Will it spread to other underdeveloped parts of the world where healthcare systems are disorganized and people are suffering from poor nutrition? And then these will act as petri dishes or incubation chambers for a more deadly worldwide epidemic. Can pets get Ebola? We don't even know that. I think they executed a dog in Spain, but the dog of the nurse here in the United States, as you can see that dog on closed circuit TV, is happily moving about its cage, seems fine. Will it disrupt travel and economies? It, you know, it doesn't take much, because we just had three cases in the United States. One guy died, and two people, the nurses, are surviving, but it's creating great disruption, because a lot of people are concerned. And so you know, most importantly, will it spread to the developed world from Africa? Will more cases start appearing? And over the next few nerve-wracking weeks, we'll gain more insight into these questions. We don't really know much about it. We don't know what's going to ultimately happen. And so we're kind of in limbo on this. And meanwhile, people are cashing in on Ebola. I mean, not to mention the gloves, the masks, the disinfectants that are disappearing from pharmacy shelves across the country. People are cashing in on Ebola with, I have an article here, popular on Amazon, wildly misleading self-published books about Ebola by random people without medical degrees. And here's a sampling. Ebola Update Preparedness Guide. Okay? I mean, but it's, is it for real? I mean, people can trot out these books in record time. And, you know, they know that this is, there's a great market for these. This one's called Ebola Natural Remedies. Ebola Survival Guide 2015, 10 Things You Must Know to Survive the Coming Ebola Outbreak. Well, it's not a foregone conclusion that we're going to have an Ebola outbreak. And these are unscrupulous individuals in the wild west of self-publishing, where conspiracy theories and disaster scenarios abound. In the past 90 days, some 84 people have self-published Ebola books on Amazon, their e-books. So it's easy. You don't have to even go through a production cycle. Just put them up there. You know, they're on the internet. And many suggest that people take vitamins or, you know, use things like colloidal silver to kill the Ebola virus, as if we really knew, as if we really knew. So in the wake of this, you know, and I got to say, I just wrote an article on natural immunity, which you can find at drhoffman.com. And I also did a podcast, which you can find at drhoffman.com. And I got, you know, a very nice comment from one of our listeners. Joan writes, this came to me at 4 a.m. this morning. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Just a couple of lines at 4 a.m. When I finally get around to checking my inbox email, she subscribes to our newsletter, which you can subscribe to at drhoffman.com. To comment on your current Intelligent Medicine newsletter on boosting the immune response, I just want to say that it is truly outstanding and covers all the bases in dealing with this ever so vital and especially timely issue. Let me just add a simple and heartfelt thank you so much. You truly do, quote, God's work in helping to make this a better world. And I thank you very much, Joan, because I tried to strike a tone that was modest and conservative. And I say up front that we don't know whether these things are going to protect us against a deadly virus. But it doesn't hurt to take the proper nutrients and do the right lifestyle things, get adequate sleep and exercise use proper hygiene methods to protect us from viruses. Stress reduction, too, plays a role in whether we're susceptible. Here's a statement from the Dietary Supplement Coalition that is working to quash Ebola prevention claims. They're actually responsible people in the supplement industry. The American Herbal Products Association, the Consumer Healthcare Products Association, the CRN, the Council for Responsible Nutrition. We've interviewed them on Intelligent Medicine, the NPA, the Natural Products Association, the United Natural Products Alliance. They signed a statement saying the following: we are unaware of any scientific data supporting the use of dietary supplements to prevent Ebola virus infection or treat Ebola virus disease. Furthermore, federal law does not allow dietary supplements to claim to treat any diseases, including Ebola virus disease. And they suggest that marketers and retailers should refuse to promote or stock shelves with supplements that claim to prevent or cure Ebola. And I'm with them. I'm with them because, look, we don't know that much about this. There are people who are suggesting, oh, just give people 100 grams of intravenous vitamin C. And I've been in touch with Dr. Jeannie Drisco, who is at the University of Kansas Medical School, and she heads the Department of Integrative Medicine there, and she's doing a lot of responsible research on intravenous vitamin C, particularly in relationship to cancer and viral diseases as well. And at one point, we thought there was an Ebola patient at her institution, at the Kansas University Medical Center. Turned out not. But I emailed her right away. I said, would you be prepared to administer intravenous vitamin C to that patient? And she wrote, well, that patient probably doesn't have Ebola. But if that were the case, I would try and promote that idea if all other ideas failed, because we're involved in a lot of experimental treatments. This ZMAP that they're using, experimental drugs, some of the vaccines barely tested, because we're desperate to find a treatment or a cure. And it's plausible. It might work. But it's absurd to claim that that's all we need to cure the Ebola epidemic, as some people are claiming. So, you know, try to take a responsible stance on this, and we'll be reporting this issue as it develops, and it will be an interesting next few weeks and months as we watch the trajectory of this Ebola outbreak. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. We'll take your phone calls momentarily. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Why Kyolic? Well, all the numbers add up for your health. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement for heart health available on the market today. For over 40 years, Kyolic has been the leading garlic supplement in America. Kyolic is 50 times richer than raw garlic in active beneficial compounds. Kyolic is organically grown and aged for 20 months to enhance its nutritional value, creating beneficial compounds not found in fresh or powdered garlic, but only in aged garlic extract from our farms in California. For maximum purity. Over 750 scientific studies at major universities such as Brown, Cornell, and UCLA prove that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is working to enhance your body's immune function, protect your cells from free radical damage, and reduce the widest range of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Call today at 1-800-421-2998 for your free sample of Kyolic.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and we're taking your phone calls, 888-302-3684. If you can't reach us this weekend, you can email us your question to radioprogram@AOL.com. We'll not write an answer back to you, but we will use your question as fodder for our weekly Q&A with Layla podcast. It's a fascinating potpourri of your questions, and you can download the podcast at drhoffman.com. All right, let's take a call from Carol in New Jersey. Welcome.
Dr. Hoffman.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we received a diagnosis for my husband for myeloproliferative disorder. Mm-hmm. What is it? What can we do in terms of alternatives to help him? His white blood, red blood, hematocrit, hemoglobin, platelet were low.
Yeah.
But his differentials were normal. Everything,
good.
All the blood tests that he has taken, everything
okay.
is normal.
Okay, so this is a slowly developing disease. It often occurs as people age, you know, older populations. Basically, it's a result of a tired out bone marrow where sometimes mutations occur, and it is considered a pre-malignancy. The actual malignancy or cancer that can arise out of that is multiple myeloma. And so this is a condition where, number one, you know, it's a long progressive condition. It doesn't usually explode into full-blown metastatic cancer rapidly. So it's a chronic condition. And so here's some things that, can be helpful. First of all, we know that vitamin D plays a role in multiple myeloma. So you got to check your husband's vitamin D and make sure that you supplement it to get it up to the level of 60 or 70. That could make a difference because vitamin D has anti-cancer effects in multiple myeloma. It can certainly slow the progression of myeloproliferative disorder. Also, make sure that he gets a full range of the right antioxidants. I would include vitamin A and lots of the mixed carotenoids and zinc and selenium because antioxidants seem to play a role. Then we might use some special antioxidants like alpha-lipoic acid, perhaps N-acetylcysteine, and some of the supplements that have antioxidant effects like resveratrol could be helpful. There actually is a study from 2006. Resveratrol may be beneficial in the treatment of multiple myeloma. So resveratrol, you know, good for the heart, but it also may help this condition. It has multiple modes of action. And I would also consider EGCG from green tea. That could have a beneficial effect as well because we know that it it has anti-leukemia effects in chronic lymphocytic leukemia, different condition, but similar in some respects. It's immune dysregulation. The EGCG seems to slow the changes that occur in the white blood cell line. So, you know, those are just some basic suggestions. You may want to see a complementary physician for a comprehensive program. And, you know, as I so often mention, intravenous vitamin C, not so much oral vitamin C, but IV vitamin C can be a real bulwark against the progression of malignancy. And it's very, you know, a lot of research underway on
okay.
that. So that's some of the things you can try. All right. Let's talk now to Bruce. Bruce is out in Long Beach, Nassau County, New York. Hi, Bruce.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I have two questions, but they're interrelated. I have a high homocysteine level, and I also have a calcium score of over 410.
Okay.
So my homocysteine has been running. I can't get it lower than 10, and I've been taking Seroflexin, two tablets.
Yeah, that's an activated B12 and the right kind of folic acid, and it's a methyl tetrahydrofolate along with B6. Actually, Seroflexin doesn't have the B6, but it has the B12 and it has the folic acid, I believe. And that is, it's actually good for lowering homocysteine. It must have been higher before. You know, our goal would be to get it down to 7 or lower, if possible, but some people that's very hard to do. The other things you can take along with high doses of those B vitamins, betaine can be helpful. And, you know, as for your cardiovascular issues, you know, resveratrol, chiolic aged garlic extract, fish oil, vitamin K2, vitamin D, these are part of a program that can help to protect your arteries, and you might consider chelation therapy. Intravenous chelation can be helpful for cardiovascular prevention. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. When we return, we're going to talk about rejuvenation therapy with young blood. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, 888-302-3684, and we will take more of your calls in just a moment, but this is an amazing story. Did you ever say to yourself, I am so tired, I'm just dog tired, I feel like I need a blood transfusion? And of course, you know, that would make sense if you were terribly anemic, but otherwise, no way would they give you a blood transfusion, possibly because of the risk of transmissible diseases. They have a very, very high threshold for giving blood transfusions. You have to be pretty darn anemic before you get one. But according to new research, this is breaking information, young blood may have rejuvenating powers. And it kind of makes us think of the old vampire legends, you know, these vampires who were asleep in their coffins for 800 years, you know, from the year, whatever, you know, 1200, medieval, you know, counts and rapacious nobles were entombed. And then they wake up in modern times and they prey on humans, but they're prime targets are luscious young virgin females. Virgin blood has a certain cachet to it. It's unsullied, it's youthful, and it has wonderful rejuvenating powers for these 800-year-old vampires. Well, that's stuff of legend, of course. But according to new research, and they profile the researcher in a recent edition of the journal Science, her name is Dr. Amy Wagers. And what she has found is that when the blood of a young mouse circulates through the mouse equivalent of an old geezer, startling physiologic changes occur. And I'm quoting from Science. Many of the trademark problems of old age, withering muscles, stiff, oversized hearts, cognitive decline, and even the fraying of the myelin coating that insulates nerve fibers are slowed, repaired, or even reversed. And so it was actually hard to pin down precisely what it was about young blood. They knew that young blood had this effect, but there's so many things in blood. It's a gamish of all kinds of different compounds. So they finally did an analysis, and it took a sophisticated very complex analytical process to boil this down. They narrowed it down to something called GDF-11. That's growth differentiation factor 11. It has nothing to do with growth hormone. You know, growth hormone is sometimes referred to as the fountain of youth. And it's not like the sex hormones. It just has something to do with the growth and replication of cells. And what's interesting is that other groups are off on a different track. They're looking at other compounds that may be in blood that have rejuvenating properties. So there's no consensus that GDF-11 is the Ponce de Leon fountain of youth compound. There are other compounds that are now being investigated. But this stuff is amazing. It was found that when GDF-11, they purified the compound and then they administered it to old mice. It significantly, this is without blood, just the compound alone. They isolated the compound. It significantly reversed cardiac enlargement, which often causes a heart failure seen in older people. And it also rejuvenated muscle stem cells, reversing age-related impairments and producing greater strength and endurance in older mice. That's pretty cool. In addition, the GDF-11 bolstered circulation in older mouse brains, which promoted the formation of new brain cells and ultimately improved brain function. So this is amazing stuff, and Dr. Wagers is very cautious to, you know, say that this is the magic bullet, the ultimate anti-aging elixir. She says, quote, you want to be enthusiastic about the potential, the real potential of the science. On the other hand, you have to turn around and say, but not yet. But it's estimated that compounds like this may be available for commercialization within the next 5 years, certainly within the next decade. And we're ushering in a whole new era of targeted anti-aging therapy, not just, you know, take vitamins, you know, eat a healthy diet, but very specific therapies that can literally reverse the clock. And then the ethical concerns will begin and who will be able to afford it. And on it goes, because These therapies won't come cheap. I guarantee it. All right. Let's take some calls. Let's talk now to Diane in Brooklyn. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi. Oh boy. Wait a minute. Hi. Okay. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. All right. Now, I don't know if I heard this from you or for Dr. McCullough, but I remember hearing it, that levels of intravenous vitamin C, the way it works in the body is it becomes ammonia.
No, actually, it doesn't. It becomes hydrogen peroxide. I mean, it sounds
better yet.
You probably say ammonia because you're thinking, hey, there's some kind of cleaning compound, right? You know, because like when you're trying to get stains out, you might use a little peroxide or, you know, ammonia is another cleaning. No, it's not ammonia. Ammonia would be deadly. So something that produces ammonia is what builds up in your body when you have liver failure and you don't want that. But hydrogen peroxide is actually the basis of what's called oxidative therapy. There are people doing ozone therapy and peroxide therapy. And I'm not sure that that's, you know, the end all and be all of, you know, how we can fight infectious diseases. I think it's interesting. I know a little bit about it. I visited Germany on a fact-finding mission back in the 90s to see what they're doing with ozone therapy. But it turns out that one way of generating the peroxide and getting it into the body safely is giving high doses of intravenous vitamin C. So that may be the mechanism by which it kills viruses and inhibits or kills cancer cells. That's what they're working on now. That's the current theory.
Yeah. So are you there? Can I call?
I am. Yeah,
oh,
okay. You may speak. Now you may speak. Yeah. Your turn.
Sorry, sir. So since bleach is the only thing that kills the Ebola virus on objects,
mm-hmm.
right, couldn't this possibly kill it in the body?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that theoretically could kill the Ebola virus. I mean, we put bleach on surfaces, we kill that, but I don't think it's probably a great idea to drink bleach or take intravenous bleach, because intravenous bleach is going to kill you before it kills the Ebola virus. And so, you know, all these theories are kind of nice, but then we have to see how that, you know, works in real practice. You know, I, for one, would encourage research into intravenous vitamin C. I think it's not going to be prioritized because intravenous vitamin C is cheap and plentiful and there's no patent on it. And, you know, the companies that are racing to produce cures for vitamin C, for Ebola, are looking at designer drugs that ultimately they can patent. And, you know, it's great for humanity, but it's also great for their bottom line. Yeah.
I'm not talking about taking in bleach. I'm comparing hydrogen peroxide.
Okay, you're there. Yeah,
also, you know, I'm just saying it could be like the equivalent, you know. And by the way, Obama just announced an Ebola czar. And this guy knows nothing about medicine.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. Yeah, look, I'm with you. I mean, in theory, I mean, look, it's all very exciting to talk about potential cures for Ebola. I currently use intravenous vitamin C for other viral diseases, and it works pretty well. But I got to tell you that when I have patients who have chronic hepatitis, we protect them, but they don't go negative in terms of the virus. We don't completely eradicate the virus with even high-dose intravenous vitamin C. I mean, many of my patients have been taking intravenous vitamin C for chronic hepatitis that doesn't respond to medication. We've given them a chance to try medication. The medication sometimes fails. And intravenous vitamin C keeps the virus in check very nicely, but it doesn't completely eradicate it. So we don't know what its effect might be in Ebola. Theoretically, yeah, maybe, but, you know, who knows? I like your enthusiasm, but, you know, in science, we have to be cautious about applying general principles to humans. All right. When we return, more of your phone calls. We invite you to call 888-302-3684. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity, in tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. You know, Halloween is coming up, and the way you can tell is you go into the stores and the candy aisle is just exploding with candy of all kinds of crazy colors. And, of course, the artificial coloring is harmful to kids' brains and bodies. And there are all kinds of terrible ingredients lurking in the Halloween candy. So we did a podcast that I hope you'll check out with Dr. Lisa Solcenti. She's a chiropractor in Brick, New Jersey, who has a program for parents, grandparents, and neighborhood folks so that you can fill kids' trick-or-treat bags with healthier alternatives. She points out the hazards in standard candy offerings and provides us with healthy alternatives. Not, you know, and we're not talking carrot sticks. You know, you get your house toilet papered if you offer those. So check it out at drhoffman.com. One of our latest podcasts. All right, let's talk to Debbie in Florida. Hey, you're now in Spring Hill, Florida. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. How are you today?
Good, good, thanks.
I'm calling because I have this, I was diagnosed recently with mitral valve prolapse. And
Did you know that I wrote a book on mitral valve prolapse?
Yeah, I saw that online.
Oh, okay, good.
I just sent for it.
Oh, good.
And I have a few other things going on, and I had a echo, and it also said that I had moderate aortic regurgitation.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Not a big deal. That's not such a big deal.
So what happens to me is I get this funny sensation in my thighs, like electric or whatever, not numbness, and then after that happens, my heart just starts taking off. I know when I get that sensation, my heart starts beating fast.
So let me tell you what's going on, and I talk about it in the book, and it's interesting. I've written a lot of books, and for some reason, that book really resonates with a population of about, you know, 10 or 15% of Americans, particularly women predominant, who have mitral valve prolapse. And it used to be thought, oh, yeah, you know, anytime you go to the dentist, if you had that, you had to have antibiotics. Now they say, don't worry about it. It's nothing. And they're, you know, the end of the story. But actually, it's a condition that often has impact on the nervous system, and how it impacts the nervous system is that patients with this condition are exceptionally sensitive. They are sensitive to all kinds of stimuli, and they also have greater what's called visceral sensitivity. In other words, they what's going on in their bodies has a lot more impact on how they feel. So, you know, ordinarily people don't think too much about their digestion or their heart rate or natural processes like breathing. But patients with mitral valve prolapse are very, very attuned to that. And so it's a problem. I mean, look, part of it, it's characterological, it's constitutional, it's kind of like, that's you. But there are ways to ameliorate that. And in the book, I talk about that. Among the supplements that are helpful, coenzyme Q10, magnesium is very important for patients with MVP because it's crucial for keeping the rhythm of the heart stable, but also it has sort of a calmative effect on the nervous system. You can take natural calmative agents like L-theanine. That's one of the most gentle. Often you have to take one quarter or one tenth of the dose of commonly prescribed drugs because many patients with MVP they're overwhelmed by standard doses of medication. They just feel knocked out. I'm very familiar with this population of patients because for some reason, I guess I'm sort of a magnet for them, patients who don't do well in the conventional medical system. It's also very important to maintain hydration, drink adequate amounts because then you'll keep your blood pressure normal. If your blood pressure drops and you get low blood pressure, which often happens in mitral valve, well, boom, you know, that's a, you know, you need to make sure you have not just adequate water, but adequate electrolytes, adequate sodium as well. So maintaining a good head of steam, so to speak, in your blood vessels with adequate hydration plays a role. Also, blood sugar big issue because you might be much more perturbed by ups and downs of blood sugar. So if you have a big old sugary meal, a few hours later, your blood sugar will plummet. You have reactive hypoglycemia, and then it's off to the races with all kinds of symptoms. So you can work on stabilizing this, and you can be helped.
Oh, okay. Because what I'm getting is full-blown panic attacks.
So. Yeah, bingo. I mean, that's the next thing. I mean, clearly, that predisposes to panic attacks. That's a whole, you know, that's an aspect of mitral valvulopolis, but it's something that sometimes needs to be treated with the right kind of cognitive behavioral therapy. Ultimately, sometimes there's a role for medication if they're too debilitating. So you're going to have to go down a pathway of, you know, I'm not sure that the book will answer all your questions. It may go some ways to alleviating this. But clearly you are predisposed. I mean, it's not your fault that you're having the panic attacks. It's a constitutional thing with MVP patients. Yeah. I see it all the time. All right, so read the book. I think you'll gain a lot of information and a certain amount of reassurance with that because you're not nuts. You know, it's something that has to do with your underlying condition. All right, let's see if we can squeeze in a call from Wendy in Princeton, New Jersey. How you doing?
Hi there.
Hi, Wendy.
Thank you for taking my call. Really appreciate it. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine. Yeah, good.
Mm-hmm. I told your caller, it took me about 3.5 years to get a diagnosis and a pelvic floor PT diagnosed as an impinged pudendal nerve.
That's a weird one. So you have like weird sensations in the groin area. The pudendal nerve goes down to the nether parts there.
Yeah, and it's kind of like if you feel your right, it's on my right hand side primarily, but my right sitting bone, so much the tailbone, but it's kind of between the tailbone and the sitting bone. And most MDs didn't know what a pelvic floor was. And it took me, I went to Johns Hopkins, I went to the West Coast, I went all over.
Ingenious figured that out because it's a weird kind of problem. It's so the pudendal nerve is what, compressed?
Compressed. And I'm 5'2", I'm petite, I'm a former gymnast, I'm 52, right. I'm in otherwise good health.
Right, right. So what are you doing, the pelvic floor exercises to help that?
Tons of floor, since I relearned how to walk. I really had to, I was like on a motorized scooter, I mean, canes, the whole work.
Right,
I have learned to fix my gait so I'm not, you know, when you're in pain, you compensate.
Right. So Wendy, we got to, this has to come to some sort of specific question because otherwise we'll run out of time. So what's the specific question on this problem?
My question, as I said to the callers, I have done a lot of different pharmaceuticals. I kind of fight them along the way. I've done all of
my research. So you want to know what's natural for pain. I think that's what
and
you
I've
want
done,
to say.
I do the
okay,
alpha
so, yeah, so listen. You mentioned alpha-lipoic acid. Yes, alpha-lipoic acid can be helpful, but it's not always helpful when taken orally. And part of the problem is dosing. We get patients sometimes up to 3,000 of alpha-lipoic acid. That's what works in some of the German studies. Alternatively, we can administer intravenous alpha-lipoic acid. It doesn't always work, but it could be helpful. For a problem where there's muscle impingement, you need more magnesium because that really helps to relax the muscles. And sometimes we administer the magnesium intravenously because patients who are chronically magnesium deficient, they need the magnesium IVs. And that can actually help substantially to reduce muscle spasm. If you have like a stiff neck or a stiff back, spasm in the jaw, intravenous magnesium can help break the spasm. That can be helpful. And the other thing that is helpful for nerve pain is acetyl L-carnitine, or ALC. That's something that you could try. Again, if this is a mechanical problem where the nerve is literally being compressed by some sort of muscle spasm, the way you're going to have to work this out is with some kind of physical therapy and rehab. You're going to relearn how to walk. You're going to do pelvic floor exercise. You're going to get biofeedback so you learn how to relax your muscles properly. You're doing all that. You're on the right track. This is, I got to say, for our listening audience, this is a very unusual problem. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't other people out there who are suffering from this and they didn't get the proper diagnosis, but this is unusual. Pudendal nerve entrapment, unusual. And it could also respond perhaps to something like acupuncture or maybe even some kind of trigger point injection therapy that relaxes the muscles. That's another possibility. Type of doctor who does that is maybe an osteopathic physician or a pain specialist. They can administer that type of therapy. I'm sorry I don't have more time to tackle that question, but we got to make a final announcement, which is that This program is merely the tip of the iceberg of the intelligent medicine phenomenon. You can subscribe to our newsletter by going to drhoffman.com. We have thousands and thousands of subscribers. We're very gratified. And each week, delivered to your email box, you'll get great information. And also, you can download our podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes. You can follow us on Facebook if you like me at Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Or you can follow us on Twitter. Got lots of helpful updates and useful information. So in the next weeks, we'll be talking immunity. We'll be following very closely what develops on the Ebola front. And these are obviously matters of concern to our listeners. So stay tuned, check us out, and we will provide you with all the useful information that you need to keep you and your family healthy. Next week's newsletter features an article on testosterone and the new guidelines that will prevent many men from getting adequate therapy. The new guidelines suggest that for mere anti-aging purposes, testosterone is too dangerous. That's a big mistake, and we're going to tackle that in our newsletter next week. One of the mainstays of our therapy for anti-aging is testosterone for both men and women, and it can make a big difference. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. Have a great weekend.